2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read from verses 8 through 12. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the simplicity of your word, and yet the challenge of your word at the same time, Lord. We pray that as we look at these scriptures, as we look at this theme, this text, that we might be able to find some things, be reminded of some things that might help us in our walk with you. Truly, Lord, we're thankful for all that you do, and we just pray that you would continue to bless, guide, protect, watch over, and keep each of us in your care. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage was a letter written to the Corinthian church, Paul addressing the topic of giving and generosity. The Corinthians had made a commitment to support the believers, the needy believers in Jerusalem, and Paul has encouraged them to fulfill their commitment. And he reminds them that this principle of sowing and reaping, which we're going to be looking at today. Paul emphasizing the lasting impact of their generosity, and we need to note that God supplies both seed for the sower and bread for our sustenance. The Corinthians, as they were giving, God continued to increase their resources for sowing and expanding their harvest of righteousness. As God continues to bless us and showers his blessing upon us, it is for us not just to use it and consume it on ourselves, but as we see that it is, we're receiving to be a conduit of the blessings that God showers upon us. And so their generosity would result in thanksgiving to God and inspire others to praise God for their obedience and their sharing. I want to look, this is actually a lesson I preached many years ago, I think when we were still at First State, on sowing and reaping, the laws of the harvest, I think is what I named it before. But the principles that are here are so important for us to realize as we're thinking about this. And I believe these laws, they weren't something I made up. This is something I borrowed from somewhere. I don't remember where or when. But it's true, first of all, true according to the scripture as we're going to look at. And I think it's very needed for us to see what really success looks like and how it is that we might gain it in this world and the world beyond. Well, I was thinking about this man, George Washington Carver, and a scholar, influential black businessman. Most of us probably know him. What you know about him usually is peanut butter, all right? You eat peanut butter, and he had so many uses and so many ways to use peanuts and made peanut oil and peanut everything, like fried peanuts and boiled peanuts. And see, I knew you were going to look up when I said boiled peanuts. I knew Marcia was going to look up. She loves some boiled peanuts, anyway. But one of the things that was astonishing about him and that he really helped a lot of black farmers in growing their crops, they would plant cotton And he was analyzing the soil and all that, and noticed that if you planted other crops, you know, on top of that same soil in different seasons, that it would took all. I mean, I'm just going to call him a genius, a scholar. With all that knowledge that he had, with all that he gained, he took that, and I'm going to call that a seed, and he planted it in the minds of people that couldn't see what he saw, that didn't have the research that he had. And he was able, by planting that seed in someone else's life, to be able to change the lives of many sharecroppers and many poor farmers, black, many of them black farmers, and was able to kind of help them to rise out of some poverty and things of that nature, better their lives based upon the things that he was able, the research that he'd done and the information that he planted and gave to each and every one of them. And in that sense, I look at that as his harvest. His harvest was taking his skills, his knowledge, and planting it in the lives of other people and seeing the great harvest that came as a result of doing so. And so today, that's kind of where I want us to be. When you think about the laws of the harvest, sometimes you hear some people preaching or teaching this, and really they have one angle, money. Today, when I am talking about money, but I'm not talking about money. This principle applies to money. This principle applies to your relationships. This principle applies to your health. This principle applies to your spiritual life. This principle applies to our daily living here. Take a look at some of these laws. One, we reap only where seeds have been sown. Two, we reap the same seed that was sown. Three, we reap in different seasons than was sown. Four, we reap more than was sown. Five, we reap in proportion to what was sown. Six, we reap only the past today. And seven, we reap the full harvest only if we persevere. Now, that's 7 points. Usually, I bring you 3 points. So you know what I got to do, right? I got to work this morning, all right? And it's a little humid in here, so that means I'm going to be sweating a lot this morning. So I'm already looking at those the tissue paper right there, because I know I'm going to need some of that. First of all, we reap only where seeds have been sown. That's a pretty practical thing, isn't it? I mean, you're not going to get a plant that comes out if there was no seed that ever ever laid there. And so I want us to look at Luke chapter 8, verse 11. The seed in that parable of the sower, the seed is the word of God. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 says, remember that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, as I said, you know, I mean, in the parable, it's saying the seed is the word of God, but I'm kind of using it a little more broadly. The seed is the word of God, but at the same time, whatever, like I said, this applies to every single part of our life, right? In your health. If I sow bad things into this body, what's going to happen? This body's going to break down a lot faster. Right? I'm eating junk food and you're eating bad things. At some point, if whatever I'm seeding, whatever I'm feeding this self, it's going to have some repercussions. And we'll look at that a little bit more as we go on. But things are planted in our lives, sometimes by Satan, right? God, of course, he's always trying to get our attention and plant things in our lives. And I think those are probably the two big ones, but then there's, of course, our own selves as well, right? So we have to really be cognizant of what seeds are being planted in our lives, and we'll look a little bit more about that seed in just a moment. We reap the same type of seed that was sown. If you look at Genesis 1, 21 and 25, you'll see seven times where it says that everything reproduces after its own kind. These are principles that God put in place in the universe. Everything is going to reproduce after its own kind. Galatians 6:7, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Whatever, I'm going to have to go King James on this, whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, right? And so here we see the seed that is planted is the same seed that is also going to grow. So if I sow negativity, if I sow bad things, if I, you know, in a lot of religions, they might use the word karma, right? Whatever you put out is going to come back to you also. And this principle is so true right here. God is saying, look, and because I think this is what happens sometimes, and I'm kind of jumping ahead to another thing, but sometimes we think, well, I didn't experience anything right now, so I must have got away with it, right? And we know that, you know, some things kind of creep up on us later on. They come back to us. Job says, I have observed that those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. It comes back to them. And just because it doesn't come back to you right now doesn't mean it's not coming back. Why? Well, because we reap in a different season than was sown, right? You plant that seed. You fertilize the ground, you plant the seed, you water it, you make sure the weeds are around, you know, away from it, and it takes time for that seed to grow into a plant, into mature. And so you're at a different season when you know, you're reaping in a different season than when it's sown. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season and a time and a purpose, to everything under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. So here we are recognizing, I put this seed down. Now, once again, this could be something bad or something good. Whatever it is I put down, it's going to come back. It's going to come back to me, right? And it's not going to come back immediately. Let's give a great example, smoking cigarettes. Can you believe that your preacher used to smoke cigarettes? I was in the Navy. Could you see me right now? Y'all, some of y'all smiling and laughing right now. What? Couldn't even imagine him. In the Navy, I picked up this bad habit, and thank God I quit it many years ago. But this is the problem with cigarettes. We know it's a carcinogen. We know you get cancer. You've seen people who get lung cancer and all that. But the problem is when you smoke that cigarette that first time, nothing. I mean, you get the feelings and all that of the cigarette, but you don't die. You don't get cancer the same day, right? So in our minds, we say, well, it must not be that bad, you know, because I'm still functioning, I'm still living, I'm still doing, everything is good and all that. But this principle is saying, hold on a second, you're forgetting something. You're forgetting that while you're planting this seed right now, eventually you're going to get a harvest from this. And there's an element called time in between. And God has made it such that the harvest doesn't come immediately. Right? And this principle works in everything. Money, right? I take $1,000 and I put it down on a something that's going to pay me back a certain percentage. I'll let the financial people talk about it a little better than I can. But you're expecting a certain harvest. But if I put $1,000 down, I don't go back to the bank the next day and say, well, where's my interest? No, there's something called time that helps you get to that reaping time also. You have to wait for it. And God is showing us that, look, when you do something, when you act in a certain way, good or bad, it's going to come back, but it's going to come back at a different season. Not only is it going to come back at a different season, different time, but you're actually going to get more than what you planted. I go plant an apple seed, put that in the ground, and beautiful tree, you know, in amount of time comes up and starts its harvest. When it's harvesting time, how many apples I got? Yeah, you don't have one apple. You've got a whole bunch of apples, and then you have a bunch more potential in all of those apples. In one apple off of that tree, I mean, I didn't do the math on it. I didn't do the research on it, but there has to be at least 10 seeds in there, at least, in one apple. And think about all the apples that are there. You are going to reap more than was sown. Mark 4:8 says, and other seed fell on the ground and did yield fruit. It sprang up and increased and brought forth some 60, some 30, excuse me, some 60 and some 100. So we see that you have a lot more than what was sown. Proverbs 11:24 says, one person gives freely yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. Fifth, yeah, I'm moving through this pretty quickly. Huh? Maybe I ought to slow down, huh? All right. You said, keep preaching, brother. Keep going. All right. We reap in proportion to what was sown. We reap in proportion to what was sown. 2 Corinthians 9:6. We read this often, especially when it comes to collection and all that. It says, but this I say, that he that sows sparingly. So if you throw down a little seed, you get little return. Right? He which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. All right. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Shall men give into your bosom? For the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. In other words, you throw down a little bit of good, you're going to come back, get back a little bit of good. You throw down a little bit of bad, it's going to come back to you also in the same proportion that you bring, that you put it down. Here's something important right now, because this is something that I try to help people sometimes that come to the church or ask me questions like, why would God be doing this to me? You know, they find themselves in a certain crisis. And I'm not saying all crises, you know, fit this this scenario, but there are many times where you've done something and now let's say you hadn't been paying your rent. And the landlord says, well, it's time for you to go. I think I shared with you that I remember there was one time somebody, they came up in front of the church and everything, you know, pray for my landlord. I'm like, I'm praying for you that you will pay the landlord. I'm like, what? Because at this point, they're getting put out of the church, I mean, put out of their home. And what sometimes people do is shake their fists at God. Lord, why would you allow me to be in this predicament? Why would you allow me to get to this point? How could you do this? And they didn't realize their part. They had planted some bad seed. They had done some things that at some point it catches up to you. And when it's that point that you're now reaping based upon what you've sown. See, we reap the past today. Tomorrow's harvest is dependent upon what we're doing right now. So right now, that's the power of this lesson, really, is that you have seed in your hand right now. You have good seed. You have bad seed. And you have a choice to make a decision on which seed you're going to plant. And if you want a great harvest tomorrow, you have to determine to plant the right type of seeds that is going to be able to give you that great harvest later on. See, Paul makes this statement in Philippians 3:13 and 14. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's looking forward to his future, recognizing the power of today and relinquishing the things of the past, saying, look, the past is done and over with. I recognize the importance of right now, and the goal is reaching forward, to pressing toward that goal that's in the future. And then last, but I still got a lot more to talk about after that, is we reap the full harvest only if we persevere. Doing good, doing bad, you know, the struggle that we have in this flesh, recognizing that at some point we're going to have to give an account for everything. Every idle word, the thoughts in the hearts, you know, our actions, we're going to have to give an account to God for it. And I'm not saying that for to invoke fear or anything like that. I'm just trying to sober us up to the reality that what our actions are going to affect our now and our future. And so if I want a good future, I got to start preparing now. If I want to, just to make this practical, I want to make a good salary. The American way to do it, you know, you go to school, you then go to college, and you get or you get some sort of training. You know, you're looking beyond where you are right now. We have our high schoolers. Well, excuse me, I have one high schooler left in the house, so praise the Lord for that. Continue to pray for us on that one. She's going into ninth grade. Woo! Hallelujah. Anyway, but one thing we're trying to do, and what we did with all of our kids, sit down. What do you want to do in your future? How can we prepare for the future? What are the things I'm going to expect the future? I mean, God may say something different, but I'm going to expect that she's going to live to 80 years old or whatever, and more. But if we understand that reality, we have to start preparing for it now. You can't wait till you get out of high school and then now try to figure out, like, well, what am I going to do now? You know, we shouldn't. The point is, we need to prepare for the future. Preparing for the future is so important. And even when you start walking that road, even when you start that journey, doing good continually is hard. Let me say that again. Doing good continually, living righteously continually is hard. How do I know that? Well, let's look at the scripture. Galatians 6, 9, and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are the household of faith. You know what he's saying? As we're accomplishing this mission that God has given to us, because what I don't know if y'all remember this, I say this often, but we're in the what business? Oh, I must not say it enough. We're in the what business? Oh, okay. What was that again? The people. We're in the people business. We're in enhancing people's lives. We're in giving them hope for the future. We're in giving them information that's going to change and transform their lives and their families' lives. We're in the people business. And being in the people business, I don't know, you know, if you deal with many people, but it's challenging. Now, I was in customer service, collections at the bank also, as well as skip trace department. And we dealt with people on the phones all the time. And you see the various different types of people and personalities and all that. And then I come into the church and you deal with what? Different personalities, you see different people and all these type of things. Dealing with people is challenging. Why? Because we don't all think alike. Our temperaments are different. And the point is this. He says you can't, first of all, you can grow weary and quit. He says, but let us not be weary in our well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. I wonder how many people have great goals and had kind of almost there. There was I'm trying to remember this story. Somebody and I'm going to mess it all up, but I'll just give you the principle of the story. The principle of the story was a man was trying to get this. Digging for diamonds, I think it was, digging for diamonds, and it gotten so close, and all of a sudden, he quit. I mean, but don't get me wrong, he had been laboring for a while. He had been laboring for quite some time, and then all of a sudden, he gets right there. I mean, and I think it was just a few feet. If you would have just drilled just a little bit more, you'd have got it. But he threw his hands up, sold the land to someone else. Someone else came in, did a little bit of work because he had already prepared all the way for him. And they got the riches. And that's what he's trying to show us. Look, it's hard. It's hard dealing with people, personalities. It's hard. And yet at the same time, you know, God is saying, don't quit. Continue moving forward. To continue. Don't get weary in your good doing. Instead, continue. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hebrews 10:36 says, you need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. I don't know, for some reason, this is such a challenging thing and a hard thing, especially when I see brothers and sisters that throw their hands up in the air. And, you know, because if you think about it, what's the harvest of us giving our lives to Jesus Christ, right? Putting ourselves and laying ourselves into Christ. And now he wants to develop us, and our harvest eventually is going to be what? Being with him. Reigning with him forever. But that only happens if you don't quit. Because here's the challenge. Being a Christian in an unchristian world, in a society that is against and doesn't even understand a lot of times what we represent and who we are and who Jesus is. And a matter of fact, there are even more and more attacking the very things that we stand for. It's challenging to just continue to going against everything and being fine with it, because this is experience that we know. We know this flesh. We know this world. I know the riches of this world. I know all the offerings of the world and all of that. And yet sometimes heaven just seems so far away. And that's why it's important that we come back down and we think and we remember and we're reminded of these scriptures that tell us that our gain is not here. Ross and moths are going to corrupt everything here. Everything is going to be destroyed. When the Lord comes back, that house doesn't mean anything. The car doesn't mean anything at all. Nothing means anything except what decision have you made with Christ? Have you placed your life in his hands? Have you surrendered to the Lord? Here's some things that I want to just challenge you to do this morning. Maybe there's somebody here today, you have not given yourself to the Lord. In this example, I'm saying now you are the seed. You are the seed. Where are you planting that seed? Are you taking your life and putting it in the Lord's hands? Because the alternative, there's only one other hand to put it in. I think y'all can fill it in already, right? We're either for the Lord or for Satan. I mean, I'm just making it plain. And so we have a decision. Am I going to give my life to him so that he can remake me, so that he can rebuild me, that he can give me purpose, he can give me direction? Or will I just continue doing my own thing? And if I'm doing my own thing, I'm not really only doing my own thing, I'm doing Satan's work also. If you're already baptized, will you reflect on this commitment that we've already made for the Lord? And continue to recognize our purpose in him, that we need to be sowers of great seed, that we need to be sowers of good works and of love and of joy and of peace, and of course, of the very word of God that gave us liberty and gave us freedom and gave us salvation, that now we have this in our own hands, not just for ourselves. Now look at how beautiful this Bible is. This is my Bible. No, this is meant to be given away. To be shared. It's given away sometimes means I'm left without. No, it's meant to be shared with others so that we might tell them also of this great commitment that we've made with the Lord. And then let's align ourselves with God's principles. Hey, wherever you are, wherever you stand, you are the farmer of your own life. Where are you going to plant your life? Will you put your life in his hands? Or will you continue to just operate on your own, doing your own thing? The Lord desires that all would come to repentance. That's how good God is. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And as Brother Jim already mentioned, that one of the sweetest verses in the Bible, his words of great life, John 3:16. The Lord, when you look at that, you see the love of God in that, don't we? God saw our need and he met it with the very perfect person named Jesus Christ to come to die in our place, to be put on that cross, to redeem us, to be a sacrificial offering in our place. And so, what will you do with your life this morning? This is a call. This is an encouragement for you this morning to put your life in his hands. There were some men in Acts chapter 2, and Peter and the other apostles that were there, they were preaching and sharing the message of the gospel. Peter gets up and he starts preaching this good news. He starts relating it back to the Old Testament scriptures. Look, everything that you're seeing right here, this is a manifestation, a fulfillment of what was prophesied in Joel as they were looking at these the gift of tongues that were happening on that day. And there was a lot of confusion there, and Peter came to bring some clarity to all the confusion. And as he starts preaching and teaching and telling them this message called the gospel, the good news, that Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ rose to give us victory because of the victory that he had in his resurrection. And so he preaches this message, and they get to this point that you see that the messages that he gave out, it affected people differently. It says they were pricked in their hearts. Acts 2:37, they were pricked in their hearts, and they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I think this is important. This is an important question. They understood they needed to do something. Listen, we don't get to heaven just by being in church. We don't get to heaven just by being in church. You can't just be in the garage and in 10 years be called a car. No. Anyway, sorry about that. But just being here alone isn't going to qualify us. You got to be washed in the blood. You got to be cleansed. You got to be restored. There was sin came in and gave the separation. Jesus came back to reconnect us with God. You can't get back to this relationship without Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That means there's no other substitutions. There are no other ways. I know the world wants every single way. Jesus is the way. We got to preach it. We got to proclaim it. We got to live it. We got to accept it. Maybe if you're here this morning and you have not yet made that decision for Jesus Christ, why not today? You're the farmer of your own life. Where will you plant your seed? This is your decision and solely your decision to make. God has done his part. He loves you. He still loves you. He's loved you from before you were even brought into this world. He's loved you. How do we know that? He understood our plight. He understood our challenges. He understood this sinfulness that we're becoming into in this world, and he gave us a remedy already for it. Understanding where we are, understanding the struggles that we're going through, he gave us the solution in the person named Jesus Christ. Will you make a decision to put your life in his hands this morning? What you need to do is do exactly what Peter said on that same day of Pentecost. The men, they asked, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them what to do. He said, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right? He says, promises for you, for your children, for all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You know what he's really saying in all that? This is universal. Everyone needs to do this. Everyone. This isn't isolated for Baptists. This isn't isolated for Pentecostals or for Church of Christers or for Catholics or for Presbyterians or for Lutherans. Or no. This is an everybody thing. Whether you're Mormon, whether you're Jehovah's Witness or whatever you want to call yourself, Muslim, Buddhist, everybody needs to come through the same way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. We come on his terms. He doesn't come on ours. We go on his terms. He don't come on ours. And so this morning, I'm challenging you to come on God's terms. Don't try to buck the system. Don't try to do it your way. It's plain. It's clear, I hope. Hope I made it clear. And if you're ready to put him on in baptism, God is ready to receive you. We're ready to receive you. We believe this in this so much that at baptism, at a believer's baptism, I'm not talking about a child. You know, some people think that, well, if you're a baby and there's water sprinkled, a child's not making a decision for Christ. You have to make a decision for Christ. You have to put your life in his hands. You're already his when you're born. All creation is of God. Today is a decision that only, and this is something that only you can do. If you're ready to make that decision, we believe in it so much, we always have this water going. It's hot, it's warm, it's ready. It's clean. We got clothes. We got everything prepared because we believe in this so much that we make it available to you at all times, not just on Sundays, at all times. So if you go, well, you know what, I don't know about, talk to me afterward. We can do it another time if that's what you feel. But you need to make the right decision. You can take control and put your life in his hands. This is your opportunity. This is your call. If you're ready to receive the Lord, why don't you come right now as we stand and we sing invitation. There is a fountain.